This is the continuation of the Bible reading on the public appearing of Christ on 14th of May 2022.
Sir Geoffrey, for the fine linen is the righteousnesses of the saints. It's a bit challenging, isn't it?
You mean it's not imputed or reckoned righteousness there, it's the righteousness that's been worked out in the lives of people like you and me?
That's
worked out to a result that is seen in display.
It's astonishing, isn't it?
Yeah.
How do we take that in? Well, that will be displayed to the universe.
Yes. Well, I'm afraid I'm saying too much, but should we not just bear in mind two things that will have happened between the rapture of the saints and the appearing of Christ in glory? Mm-hmm. One is the judgment seat of Christ, isn't it?
Yes.
Which isn't punitive, but it will be a time of review and assessment, and perhaps of adjustment. And I think that
and
must...
perhaps reward.
Indeed, thank you. That must happen before the church is seen, surely, in this fine linen, bright and pure.
That's why perhaps it says the end of verse, or middle of verse 7, and his wife has made herself ready.
Yes, yes. Well, that is the second thing, the marriage of the Lamb. We have the judgment seat of Christ and the marriage of the Lamb before Christ comes out in glory. But, Andrew, I'm sure you can help us.
Well, it's quite amazing. We've just had elections. A lot of churches were used as polling stations, and all they can speak about is afterwards is who got here and there, all different names that nobody's ever heard of before. But where is the name of Christ in these things? That's the sad thing, really, isn't it? That these things that have been built for the glory of God are used for man's organisation, which is not often preaching the gospel, which is a very sad thing, really, isn't it?
Well, we have an archbishop now who's committed himself to the gospel of climate change. Whereas Paul speaks very seriously about anyone who preaches another gospel. Mm-hmm. Paul says his commission was to announce him as glad tidings.
And this is the important thing, that if the Lord was accepted, these people would be far happier and content, wouldn't they? It would be something far greater as well, not only for this time, but forever. There's so much in what the work of Christ has done, isn't it? It's absolutely enormous. There's nothing ever been done so great as what the Lord did at Calvary. Nothing so great and wonderful. And it's all in God's blessing, and it's free, isn't it? It's incredible to think that God wants to bless man in this way.
And when Christ comes as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, mm-hmm. Andrew, mm-hmm. the very earth itself will respond mm-hmm. to his coming. Mm-hmm. And be blessed of him. That's all included, isn't it, in the outworking of what Christ has wrought at the cross, that the very earth will be blessed as a result.
As the Lord said as he was going into Jerusalem, and they asked him to stop his disciples from worshipping him, and he said, if I stop them, the very stones will cry out.
Yes.
It's a wonderful thing. That would have happened if the Lord has stopped them. It's such a wonderful thing to understand that that is possible. The greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ and his work.
It is a lovely thing, Geoffrey, you're referring to the assembly being with Christ. He says in chapter 14 of John that where I am, they will also be. Mm. I think sometimes we don't realise the depth of love that is in the heart of Christ for his own. Mm. And he laid down his life for the saints and wants us to be with him.
Yes, well, you remember that when the Apostle Paul was arrested outside Damascus, the Lord said to him, "Why persecutest thou me?"
Yes.
And Paul's ministry was really the working out of that, wasn't it? That the church is the me.
Yeah.
And do I really take that in?
Again, it was wonderful grace of the Lord, wasn't it, to speak to Saul in that way. Marvellous grace. And it was something for us as well, because we've got what Paul has written, and his exercises and his work. We find such a fine person afterwards. That was all the work of Christ, wasn't it?
Yes, and what we've been considering in 2 Thessalonians was, I take it, directly given of the Lord to Paul.
Mm.
It was that the truth of the rapture was given only to Paul, for the saints, of course. And all that, those chapters 1 and 2 of 2 Thessalonians open out, wonderful ministry. And here we have what the Lord gave to John. The Lord said of him, didn't he, if I will that he tarry until I come, what is that to thee? And although John did eventually expire, he had a very long life, and he saw the secrets of the coming of the Lord, didn't he?
So, in this passage, there are various names of the Lord, faithful and true, in verse 11. And the word of God in verse 13. And then finally in verse 16, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Yes.
Titles which he were true at his first coming, but he's been rejected by man.
Can you say something about those titles for us, Tony?
Well, I think faithful and true is something that characterised him in every step of his pathway, wasn't it? He was faithful and true to the Father. Then John is the one who tells us about his name, the Word of God, the Logos. And then finally, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It reminds us of what Peter says, that God has made him the same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Acknowledge him as Lord, but his kingship waits for a coming day.
Yes.
In that respect, Tony, could you just say what the appearing will mean to Israel?
It will mean that all that God desired to see in Israel will be fulfilled, because Christ, who is the theme of all prophecy, will have his rightful place in hell.
Yes, so much they were and are God's chosen people, aren't they?
They are, yeah, they still are.
And they will be the head of the nations.
Yeah.
And much, much more.
Yeah.
A king shall reign in righteousness, the prophet says. But where's he going to reign from? From Zion.
Yeah.
That's the earthly side of things.
Absolutely, yes. I just wanted to introduce that, because that is an amazing transformation for a downtrodden people. and people that still bear the sorrow, or perhaps maybe don't understand it just now, but they carry the weight of the rejection of their king. But that will be put right, won't it?
And blessing will follow. We've got many Old Testament scriptures that speak about the blessing of the Messiah when he comes, and that will be experienced, won't it, by the whole world.
Yeah, I was just noting, Tony, the little verse in Zechariah. It says, I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem. The first thing is the spirit of grace. Mm. Mm. Isn't that astonishing?
Yeah.
I'm glad you brought this up, Terry, because there's an increasing tendency amongst evangelical Christians to muddle Israel and the church together. Well, what the Lord said to Abraham was, as the sands of the seashore, that's earth, and as the stars of the sky, that's heaven. And God keeps all his promises.
Yes. As to Israel, they, probably the majority of the nation will be apostate and will enter into that fated league with the man of sin of whom we've been speaking earlier. But God will bring a faithful remnant of Israel through, won't he?
Yes. So does it not say he sends his angels to the four corners of the earth to gather them in?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the purposes of God include Israel, don't they?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I know I'm not alone in thinking that when the Lord returns to the earth, it'll be to the Jews, or the two tribes, the residue of Judah and Benjamin, and the ten tribes will be summoned by the Lord when he's here. He will call for them, won't he, from the north and south and everywhere.
Yes, they will be one people, won't they?
Yes, one stick in the hand of the prophet.
Yeah.
So that's confirmed in Jeremiah, isn't it? The God's word. If those ordinances that he spoke of, the sun and the moon and the stars, depart from before me, says Jehovah, the seed of Israel also shall cease to be a nation before me forever. Thus says Jehovah, the heavens above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth searched for their belief. I will also cast off the whole seed of Israel for all that they have done, says Jehovah. There's confirmation that can never be revoked.
Our brother was reading Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 36 and 37.
But when you think of the millions and millions of people that will reject the Lord and will spend eternity in the place of judgment, it's horrific, isn't it? When you think how many today, and have always been through history. I sometimes perhaps wonder, well, the Lord knows what he's doing, and he's made all people, so he has every right to judge them and cast them aside. But it's just tragic to think of such a big proportion of humanity that will end up with the devil and his angels in hell forever. And it's going to be forever, isn't it? It's not going to be just a purgatory to cleanse them and then bring them to heaven. No, it's going to be forever. I think it makes us all the more thankful that the Lord has had mercy on us.
Amen.
We can't say we deserved it, but we're so thankful that he has included us amongst those that he's rescued.
We're coming back to the gospel, aren't we, now again? Hosea said, it's time to seek the Lord. Isaiah said, seek the Lord. And the apostle said, now is the accepted time. So this has been the very emphasis of the gospel now.
Absolutely. There's just one thought I didn't get a chance to express earlier on when we were talking about the bride being clothed with fine linen, which are the good works that he has done. Mm-hmm. I think it's sort of parallel to a bride today that prepares her own wedding garment. And we have a privilege of doing that as the bride of Christ. The good works that we do, the service we render, will be displayed in that glorious dress in which she will be arrayed in that day of celebration in heaven. I think it's a lovely thought that the Lord allows us to have a little part in the wedding dress.
Do you not think, Peter, that outwardly small things enter into that? It's not just that somebody has been a well-known preacher and is credited with bringing hundreds to the Lord. I mean, that would be good, very good work to do.
Yes.
But what about a young wife who brings up her children in the nurture of the Lord?
Yes.
What about elderly sisters who give themselves to prayer? And so we could think of many little things, little in terms of the outward impact that they make, which surely are all part of the righteousnesses of the saints, aren't they?
Yes, I'm sure, yes.
So one blessing from looking at the coming of the Lord is to see everything in the light of that day, isn't it?
Yes.
Because we get very affected by what people think today, public opinion and all that's going on. But it's very helpful, isn't it, to us to look at everything, think of everything in the light of what is going to be.
Yeah.
And Jude says, keep yourselves in the love of God. Couldn't go far wrong there, could we?
Well, by saying that, you've opened yourself up to the question, excuse me, how do we do it?
Well, I'll just finish the verse and then that may excuse me. Awaiting the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life.
Yeah. Well, how do you keep yourself in the love of God?
Well, I'm saying as much as you are this afternoon, so I'm going to stop there. But no, seriously, it's a matter of daily contact, isn't it?
Well, somebody gave this illustration of it, you may have heard of it. Take a cat lying in the sunshine and enjoying it. The sun moves round, it finds itself in the shade. It gets up and moves back into a sunny area. And we ought to be sensitive enough, didn't we? If anything's come into our hearts or minds, or anything of our actions that have just brought a cloud over my communion with God through the Lord Jesus, I just need to adjust that, put it right, and get back into the sunshine, don't I?
Yes. Isn't it called repentance?
Yes, yes, I think that's right.
If you mind start to wander, look back at the cross. See where it was started. See where our salvation was wrought.
Yes.
Bring it back into focus and perspective again.
Being occupied with the cross would keep us in the love of God, wouldn't it?
I think so.
God who gave his own son.
And when he comes forth, he comes clothed with a garment rich in blood.
Go on.
It was his own blood, wasn't it?
I thought this was the blood of battle, as in Isaiah 63, yes. Isn't it?
Yes, I think it probably might be, yes.
He's come out to make war.
Yeah.
it's not for me to be dogmatic, but I suggest that Isaiah 63 helps that.
Yes.
Well, it's confirmed, really, because if you look at verse 15 of chapter 19,
Out of his mouth goeth the sharp sword, and he shall smite the nations, he shall rule them with a rod, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. It's what you get in Isaiah 63, I have trodden the winepress alone. And their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments.
Yes, that makes it quite clear, doesn't it?
Yes, and just to go back to what you said originally, Tony, these are the garments at his second coming.
Yeah.
The garments of his first coming were swaddling clothes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Garments of grace. Yeah. Garments of lowliness. Mm-hmm. But now, King of Kings, Lord of Lords.
Yeah. We've gone on quite long, and I think profitably, but I just want to bring you back, Tony, to your remark about the names of Christ, because they are very significant. And I was thinking particularly of the Word of God. And you mentioned that is the Logos. Now, am I not right, you'd know better, or Michael, but Logos, does it not include the idea, not just a word of communication, but the very expression of the thing communicated? Is that not right? And that the Lord Jesus, as the Word of God, he hasn't just said things orally to us, although he's given us many wonderful words, but he is in himself the expression of the blessed God and of all the mind of God. I just thought it might be helpful to bring that out, that this is noted by John as to an aspect of the Lord Jesus when he presents himself.
Yes, it's brought out in chapter 1 of John's Gospel very much, isn't it? Because the Word was made that he dwelt among us too. And I was thinking of Luke 24, where when we think of the Word of God as speaking of the Scripture, it's linked to himself, because he revealed to them from all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. And you mentioned, Jeff, to look again at these names. I'm sure everybody already knows that when it says King of Kings and Lord of Lords, it's a Hebraic way of saying he's the greatest king, he's king over all, he's Lord over all. It links with Philippians 2, that he's been given the highest place.
Yeah, you have it in the previous chapters, two chapters back, 17, and it's the other way round there. He is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Verse 14, chapter 17.
Yes.
Well, thank you for your suggestion, Tony.
No, that's a very helpful one.
Just one question, please. You mentioned Revelation 1:7. I don't think you touched much on it.
Yeah.
Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him.
Yeah.
Clouds in plural.
Yeah.
When you go out to Luke, the Lord Jesus is speaking, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud, singular, with power and great glory. Over the years, I've heard this ministered on, these clouds are clouds of witnesses. Is there any... You need to be clear on that in my mind.
The scripture is Hebrews, isn't there, about a cloud of witnesses?
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know, when the Lord ascended, a cloud received him out of that sight. I think he does it hid him.
That's right. He should come in the manner of receiving go.
Yes.
Yeah.
And of course, in the Old Testament, we have the glory cloud that was in the temple.
That's right. Just something that's been interesting.
Yes, if we think that we're having to wait a long time for these things to come to pass, how much longer has the Lord waited?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's been in existence from all eternity. In all past eternity, he has not had a bride, as far as we know. I don't think he could have had. And he's been waiting all this time for the consummation of this glorious event.
I'm glad you've said that. That's a lovely thought to take away. According to one translation, Paul, is it to the Thessalonians, speaks of the patience of the Christ. I think in the Authorized it says the patient waiting for Christ, but other translations say the patience of the Christ. And I think that's a lovely expression.
Yes.
The reference is in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 5, where there is an alternative rendering in the margin to the King James Version, the patience of the Christ.
Yes, Adam didn't have to wait so long, I don't think. He was alone for a while, we don't know how long, but I don't think it was anything like the time that the Lord has been waiting.
And his love is there all the time.
Yeah. Yes.
Right, we sing 150. Lord Jesus, here we wait for thee, and as we wait we sing, e'en now the morning star we see of earth's rejected king. Ours then the nobler song to raise before thine own blessed face, and find unceasing joy and praise to thee in that bright place. Number 150.
Jesus, the Lord of the King, our Son shall ever be. Our tribute now we gladly bring to offer unto thee.
To sing.